You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
If you're just tuning in, it's 6:31. You're tuned into the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. I'm your host, Jimmy Moyaha. And for the last couple of days, probably about a week and a bit at the moment, I've been annoying my producer about finding a lawyer to look into this particular case. Let me give you a bit of a summary or a quick background as to what's been happening here. There was a preservation order from the South African Reserve Bank related to some funds that were frozen. So there was a company called Mayfair Speculators, which was a company that the late Marcus Huster was a director of, and this handled a lot of his horse racing and horse racing businesses there. That company subsequently paid 12 loans amounting to more than 60.5 million rand to a Berdine Oudendal, who has been mentioned in the media as being the mistress to the late Marcus Huster, or the ex-girlfriend to the late Marcus Huster. Now, the conversation gets particularly interesting when you dig into the fact that the preservation order was obtained by the South African Reserve Bank to freeze these assets as part of an ongoing investigation, as part of freezing the other assets that belonged to Marcus Huster. So this is freezing affiliated assets. But despite freezing the assets, they still paid out about 150,000 rand a month to Miss Oudendal for her monthly expenses. Now, that seems very strange, and that's kind of what piqued my interest around this. So I thought, let's speak to a lawyer. Let's understand what's happening here. Perhaps we've missed something, and let's try and understand how we got to this point. And I'm joined on the line by the director of BBM Attorneys, Angelo Cristoforo, to take a look at this and try and unpack this. Good evening, Angelo. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by identifying or defining a preservation order as we know it in legal terms, and what this kind of preservation order allows someone like the central bank to do if it's approved by a court.
Good evening, Jimmy, and to your listeners as well. We're really talking about giving efficacy to the provisions of the Currency Exchanges Act 9 of 1933, as well as the exchange control regulations pertaining to that act. Regulation 22 capital A is really in question over here, where the Treasury or its authorized agent under whom delegated authority has been given, such as the Reserve, South African Reserve Bank in question over here, is entitled to attach certain money and goods and blocking of certain accounts. That is in instances where the South African Reserve Bank would have a reasonable suspicion that there has been contravention of the regulations to the Currency and Exchanges Act. They would be entitled to block and preserve the funds contained in bank accounts that arose, or monies in bank accounts that arose pursuant to questionable transactions and reasonable suspicions.
Angelo, again, everybody in South Africa proven innocent until proven guilty. What is the purpose of preserving these funds? What would be the rationale from a Reserve Bank perspective to say we want to put a hold or a freeze on these accounts?
Essentially, to ascertain whether there has been a contravention of the regulations, issues such as restrictions on purchase and sale on loan of foreign and currency and gold. Issues such as, for example, declaration of foreign currency and foreign assets, acquisition of foreign currency which is undeclared, any type of conduct or omission which is a failure to act when there is a duty to act on any issues pertaining to exchange control regulations. So the purpose of the preservation would be to hold on to those funds, to block the funds from being released from the accounts in question pending the outcome of the investigation. And the Treasury or its delegated authority body would have a period of 36 months, in other words, 3 years, to investigate the matter.
And in that 3 years, while the funds are being frozen or locked in the way they are, the aim there, of course, is to ensure that the value of those funds can be preserved in the event that those funds need to be seized or handed over. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, yes. So as to ensure that the accounts are not depleted of the funds, so that the very purpose for which the Act has been promulgated and the regulations to the Act have been promulgated are not defeated, And of course, if there has been found to have been a contravention, either of the Act or the regulations, then to enforce the penalty provisions and to ensure that the funds are preserved so that the penalty provisions can be enforced, which of course include a forfeiture of those funds to the state.
You mentioned a very important word there, depletion, to avoid depletion. So, Angelo, if we're avoiding depletion, why then does the central bank enter into an agreement to pay out 150,000 rand from the said frozen accounts to the individual that they froze the accounts from? Is there a legal precedent or a case law that that's based on? I mean, I'm not expecting you to understand the exact agreement that the central bank went into, because I tried to look for it. I don't think it's available in the public domain at the moment. So we're only able to speculate based on what case law might provide for.
Yes, well, the Treasury or its authorized agent, like the Reserve Bank, has a discretion. The wording of Regulation 22A is actually relevant to your question, which provides that the Treasury may, in such manner as it may deem fit. And so the wording of the regulation, the intention of the legislature and the drafters of the regulations is such that the Treasury or its authorized agent is afforded a degree of discretion. So it usually considers the matter on a case-by-case basis. In some cases, it may choose not to exercise its discretion to the extent that it allows any payouts. In other instances, where, for example, the survival of the person in question is dependent on accessing funds to the account in question, it may, of course, allow certain provisions to be made out and concessions to be made for maintenance claims and claims of that nature.
It's very interesting, Angelo, that you mentioned that the survival, because I imagine that is what Ms. Woodendall would have argued, that this these funds would be necessary to upkeep her reasonable expenses, including whatever costs that she would have outlined to the central bank. Interestingly enough, that agreement the Reserve Bank has found since that they no longer want to abide by that. I suppose, as you mentioned, they deem fit to provide those funds so they can deem fit to, at their discretion, take those funds away. Angela, I want to look at the funds whilst frozen. If there's interest earned, so if we're looking at bank accounts, I understand there's four bank accounts involved here. We've almost depleted one of the bank accounts, and we're looking at the other bank accounts there. In the time that those accounts are frozen and those monies are earning interest, what happens in that respect? Does that interest get forfeited over to the state as well if there is sort of a forfeiture of the rest of the funds or the rest of the assets? And if not, if we find at the end of it that we're returning all of the funds back to Ms. Woodendall, does she then benefit from that interest as well?
There is a high probability that the funds, including the fruits of the funds, which would naturally incorporate interest, that would be the typical example of the fruits of those funds, would either be forfeited or paid back, should it be found either way that a contravention was made and that the penalty is appropriate for the forfeiture of the entire funds and fruits, or vice versa, that a contravention has not been made and that there should be a release of those funds, including its fruits.
So, Angela, if we come back to the funds, that the payout that was being released, from a SARB's central bank's perspective, that is at their discretion to do so and to enter into that agreement, an agreement which we have yet to see here. What does that do for the case if we get to a situation where in the 36-month period of investigation, the central bank has paid out all of the funds that are there? Effectively, that would defeat the purpose of having preserved those funds in the first place.
Absolutely. And the Reserve Bank would have to answer as to why it did so in circumstances where it had a reasonable suspicion, if it had a reasonable suspicion, to preserve those funds instead of paying them out.
I suppose at this point, only the central bank can provide some of the answers that we're looking for. But thank you so much, Angelo, for those insights and for helping us unpack the legal side of this conversation. We're going to keep an eye on this and understand what happens here going forward. We understand at the moment that Ms. Woodendall is appealing this at the Supreme Court to have these withdrawals reinstated from a Reserve Bank perspective. And we'll keep an eye on this and other stories and see how that develops. Thanks so much, Angelo. Angelo Cristoforo, who is a director at BBM Attorneys, helping us unpack the debacle that sits around the frozen assets that the Reserve Bank had frozen previously.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.